Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hey friends, we're so glad you joined us today. I'm your host, Leenie Heiss, and today is episode 77. We're talking with Cindy Deneve, a name you may not recognize, but an author you may have read. We're closing in rapidly on America's Thanksgiving celebration, but it is collection week for our ministry partner, Operation Christmas Child. Did you get our email about how you can pray this week as they gather shoeboxes? I'm printing it off and taking it to our dining room table to pray through with our kids. Also, I'm going to our website to print the Moms in Prayer card to add to the shoeboxes from our website at momsinprayer.org. If you didn't get that email, that's because you're not registered on our website. Listen, we only send out the good stuff, so go on our website and register at momsinprayer.org. Now, I can't wait for you to meet Cindy. Let's get started. Cindy, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here with you guys.
It is so fun to get to introduce you finally to our audience. My guess is that many of them have read your words without reading it because, Cindy, you have co-authored how many books with R. Sally Burke?
We just finished our fourth one, Raise Them Up, which came out in August.
That is so fun. So if people look at the covers, they will see your name right there with Sally Burke, and we're so grateful for your words. In the world and for everybody to get to know you. So introduce yourself and your family to our audience.
Oh, so I am Cindy Deneve. I love writing. When I was in fourth grade, in fact, I remember walking to school with my nose in a book and praying to God and say, Lord, someday help me be able to write books and help me be able to write in such a way that people can picture what I'm saying. And so it's so fun to be able to walk in a bookstore and see a couple of my books. It's just like that childhood fantasy come true that God gives us, that Ephesians 3:20. He gives us more than all we ask or imagine. So that has been a super fun journey that I've been on. I also work at my church, Emmanuel Faith Community Church in Escondido. It's a pretty large church, and I oversee graphics, communications, media, audio, that kind of thing. So that's a busy job. So by the grace of God, he has given me time to write these books along with my latest book, God Confident Kids. And I am married to Marcel Deneve, and we've been married 28 years, and we have two kids, Elliot Deneve, and he is 23 now, and Zoe is sophomore. I'm like, how old is she? She is a sophomore in college. She's still a teenager, but it is wild to be in that young adult stage.
Wow. So fun to watch you transition like that. But Cindy, you're also a Moms in Prayer mom. How did you meet Moms in Prayer?
Yeah, I am so blessed and honored to have found Moms in Prayer when my son was, I think he was first or second grade. And the crossing guard and I would stand at the corner after all the kids were tucked into school, and we would stand at the corner and pray for the school. And because she saw all the big trucks coming through, and she also knew some of the dynamics that was happening. And so we would just stand at the corner and pray. And she said, hey, have you heard of Moms in Prayer? And I said, oh, my sister prays in Moms in Prayer. And so we went on the search to see if we had a group for our school. And then she heard Fern Nichols speak. And from there, she's like, we have to start this Moms in Prayer group. So my sister came over and she led us through the four steps of prayer. And we had invited a whole bunch of friends over. And what I tell people is that it transformed my prayer life. I went from leading Bible studies, where at the very end of the time, we would, you know, say, okay, what are your prayer requests? And then one person would wrap up in prayer. And we were so focused on our prayer requests. And that fear that goes with that and the anxiety that goes with that, but we didn't do anything with that. And so we kind of left the way that we came. But when I discovered Moms in Prayer, and when we move our eyes off of our problem onto the ultimate problem solver, when we start with praise, it was phenomenal. It's that peace that comes from going, oh, God's got this. He's the creator of the universe. Of course he's going to take care of my son and my daughter and the school. Of course he's going to answer these prayer requests. And so that's what I love about Moms in Prayer, really being able to bathe our kids and their schools and their friends in prayer and spending that hour in prayer, and also being able to focus on who God is and his attributes and characteristics has really transformed my life. And that I've been mostly leading the group. Occasionally I have a friend that also leads for me, but mostly leading the group since my son was in second grade, and now he's a college graduate. So God has really gotten him through and is getting my daughter through, and it's really fun and exciting to see.
One of the things I love the most about Moms in Prayer is that moms pray with longevity. And Moms in Prayer gives us God confidence, doesn't it? It's like
indeed
a boost of God confidence because we know who God is as we read about him in the word and then we pray that word back. And I think that must have played a role in your development of your new book, God Confident Kids, right?
Yes, definitely. Because we pray for our kids and we pray that they have godly character. And then how do we take that and then live that out as parents and model that for our kids to help them learn to develop their own walk with the Lord? And kind of the heartbeat of the book is helping our kids develop that love relationship with the Lord, that it's not just about these rules and regulations. Don't wear this, do wear this, eat this. You know, as parents, we often feel like we're just walking rule books, you know, don't do that. Here's your bedtime. Get off the electronics. But we can be more than that and to be able to bring God into our daily conversations, whether it be about, wow, look at this beautiful sunset God has made, or wow, we just prayed about that in Moms in Prayer and look how God answered so quickly, or you know, they have something come up and to be able to listen to them and then to pray for them and have God enter that difficult situation and then for them to see God work that out in front of them. And that really develops their love for God. And so my passion is for families to develop kids that really have that love for God, that they realize it's not just about following the rules and the regulations, but to have that love for God, that God can be with them. I mean, people talk about, oh, there's no prayer in school. Of course there's prayer in school. I mean, those kids are praying as they're taking a test and they're praying as their teacher's stumbling along, and they can pray for their teacher in their own hearts without having to pray out loud. They can be praying for their teachers and they can be praying for their classmates and for themselves, and to give them that passion and understanding that God is with them always. I talk about helping them to listen to the Holy Spirit in their life, because sometimes, as I say in the book, I am not my child's Holy Spirit. And nor do I want to be. And I don't know what God has planned for my kids. I mean, I can't even imagine what God has planned for my kids. And so I want them to be able to sit at his feet and to go pray about the decisions, whether it be to go to camp or what college to go to or what parties to go to or friends. And, you know, obviously my husband and I are there to help guide them along. But sometimes it's just, you know, maybe you should go pray about that and see how God directs you, and to be able to help them realize that our personal relationships with God are forever, and that God is with us and that he loves us and is going to go before us in all things.
Well, I often hear people say, don't worry about that. You've got it. You've got this. That's like the mantra of this generation, right? You've got this. And
right.
The truth is that there are just so many times we don't got this, but God's got this. I'm sure that you kind of bristle at that too. What's the difference between self-confidence and God confidence, and why does that matter?
Yeah, you know what I discovered for myself and then witnessed in my son as he was struggling with dyslexia is that self-confidence is often built on what we think other people think of us. And it's not necessarily what we think of ourselves, but what we think other people think of us. And it can waver. I mean, sometimes we all do stupid things. And if my self-confidence is dependent on me doing stupid things, I would never be self-confident. But my confidence comes in Christ, and that God confidence is that foundation. And the definition I give is that God confidence is trusting that God created each one of us for a good purpose and living humbly, authentically, and lovingly dependent on Christ Jesus in both our strengths and our weaknesses. And it's helping our kids be able to embrace their strengths and their weaknesses. And the beauty in that is that God is our strength and our weakness, and that God is going to go before us in all those things. And so when we can embrace our weaknesses, then we know that we can go to Christ for that. And that empowers us even more. I've seen that in my own life over and over again, and in my kids' lives. And it's really based too on that Ephesians 2:10 principle. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And what's so cool is that when we have God-confident kids, is that they develop this team mentality. So they realize that it's not just themselves that God has given them a good purpose for, but that they're friends also. And so they can help encourage them along, and it's not setting up that competition. We're in the middle of a highly comparison generation with, you know, people are comparing how many likes they get on social media or reality TV, which person do you want to vote off? And so we're set up in this comparison generation. And so God confidence allows us to step back and say, wow, we all have a good purpose. God created each one of us on purpose for a good purpose. And how can I help my friends be able to develop their good purpose as well?
Yeah, I think this is important to talk about because we see a lack of confidence and self-esteem or God esteem really affecting this next generation. And I want to just brainstorm for our audience the ways that we see the lack of God confidence affecting our kids first. What do you think?
Yeah, this generation is full of anxiety and depression and fear. What was shocking in my research is for ages 10 to 14, suicide is the second leading cause of death. And that same for 15, I think, to 24. But for 10 up to 14-year-olds, that just was so astounding to me. And for them to just be stuck in that, you know, what is my purpose? Why am I here? And to have to wrestle with that. And that's part of my testimony.
Oh, Cindy, I just want to say, last week, the CDC released the statistic that's just been rolling in my mind. Between 10 to 14-year-olds, the suicide rate has tripled in the last decade. 10 to 14-year-olds. Yep. That is unbelievable. And we've seen a 76% increase in suicide rate in older teens. So that's what you're talking about. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. Where are they drawing this self-esteem or this lack of self-worth?
I really think it goes back to this comparison generation that we have. I mean, it used to be people would get bullied in school and it would stay in school and home would be their safe place. But now it goes with them. But it's not just the traditional bullying that we think of. There's also seeing on Snapchat or on Instagram that, oh, everybody went to this party that I wasn't even invited to.
Yeah.
Or, oh, look, they got an A on that test and I struggled to just pass. Or maybe they didn't pass. And so it's all of those things that are happening that they're comparing themselves or they're thinking, wow, I'm not in the in crowd. Look at all those happy people and I don't feel happy. And so they're seeing themselves through this false reality of social media and feeling like they're lacking something. And why even bother living?
Don't you do that too? I mean, like we pick up Facebook and all of a sudden I know all the things I wasn't invited to. And that did not happen 10 years ago. I wasn't aware that I wasn't at something before. And then all of a sudden, I'm struggling with that too. So if we are processing that as adults, they're processing that at a totally different level with a lack of maturity as kids.
Yeah. And a lot of times at 10 to 14, they don't even have the words to verbalize it. And an encouragement for us as parents too is to develop that space in our lives to allow our kids to talk, because they're not going to just come out with that. When you're racing between, you know, soccer practice and church and all of these different things, we're all so busy. But to provide some space so that our kids can be open and honest in that communication with us as well.
Well, what does this look like to begin to develop a different level of confidence in our kids? Like, this must be an age and stage kind of thing, right? Like, at different levels, they learn different things, right?
Yeah, in fact, at the end of my book, I go through the ages and stages of the kid's development and what we can do at different stages. And really, it's starting to talk, even with babies, letting them see you do your quiet time and see you have that authentic relationship with God. Sometimes we want to kind of think that we need to be that perfect model of our of a great relationship with God instead of saying, whoops, I missed my quiet time. And because of that, I'm a little bit cranky. Sorry about that. And to be able to tell the kids, you know, I'm so sorry that I'm crabby today. Let me go take some time by myself. Let me pray a little bit and I'll be back. And, you know, to be able to be authentic in front of our kids, obviously, you know, just in kid level that they can digest, but to be able to be authentic in front of our kids and to be able to, you know, come out of church even and say, hey, we talked about this in church. What did you guys talk about? Because a lot of times we just say, what did you learn in Sunday school? Instead of saying, here's what I learned on a kid level. One of the things I loved when my son was just a preschooler, toddler, I would be doing my quiet time and then Harry would come. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I just need some time with you. And what it ended up being a huge blessing, because what I realized is if I was reading the Bible and had to interpret it for a toddler preschooler, it made it more impactful for me. So then I would just scoop him up in my lap. And so I would read just a verse or two and explain it to him. And that allowed us to have that conversation. We'd find verses to memorize. And that's a big piece that I encourage throughout my book, is to be able to, you know, in Deuteronomy, it talks about talking with our kids as we go out and we walk on the road. And in our cases, it's drive on the road. And as we go about our day, to be talking about God and to have memorized just a simple verse with our kids. And I used to do it with motions, and we'd do singing, and we'd make funny voices just so that they could memorize it in a fun way and then talk about it and then see how God shows up in those verses and just talk about it in like a regular when you're in Target or Costco, or when those things come up, not try to do that in a manufactured way, but really that authentic love for Christ that develops when we're doing that as parents. It really develops our love relationship with the Lord, but then it models it for our kids and helps them to see what that looks like, where it's not just going to church on Sundays and maybe Wednesdays. It takes that rule piece out of our relationship with God and helps them to realize that this really is a relationship with God that can last forever and not something that they just have while they're at home with our parents. And that's my passion, is that our kids in this generation will grow that deep faith, that God confidence that will last them until Christ takes them home, instead of see the trend now that they might go to church when they're in their parents' roof because parents take them, but they don't continue that when they hit college or their adult years. So my passion is to be able to help kids understand that God loves them deeply and has a good purpose for them, and so that they can really latch onto that and hold onto that throughout their life.
One of the things that is going to be important then is teaching them who their God is, just like Moms in Prayer does with us, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so that they know where to draw that confidence from, because He is all that we need, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the book, too, I talk about how we can help kids learn the four steps of prayer. Obviously, we're not going to sit down with them and pray for an hour, but to be able to walk them through it in step, and to be able to maybe just one day you're focusing on God's characteristics, or wherever, you know, God is the God, the creator of the universe. I mean, that's one that I go back to. I'm always marveled at the different shades of green that God has created, or the different seasons, or the different birds. And, you know, to be able to bring that into even our daily conversations, or what we read, that God's our refuge, and that God's our strength, and that we can find rest in God, and that God is sovereign, and that God is putting all these seems like crazy pieces of our lives together on purpose. And, you know, to be able to talk them through who God is, to give them that foundation for that God confidence. That's a really key piece.
And that's our job as parents, is to train them about who God is. We have this opportunity to introduce Him to them like a friend. You have a son with a learning difference. I have a daughter with learning differences. And I know, at least at my house, that puts extra pressure into my daughter needing to draw her identity from Christ. Have you seen that in your home too?
Yeah, and I think that was kind of the crux for all of this. My son, second grade, he started to really show signs of childhood depression. And in first grade, I say in the book, and I think in a couple of the Moms of Prayer books, in first grade, I was putting him to sleep and, you know, saying goodnight and everything. And he stops and he says, "Mom, why am I so stupid?" And we didn't even say, that was the S word in our house. We didn't say it about anything, much less ourselves.
Yep.
And he had gone from kindergarten, everybody thought he was so gifted and so smart. And because kids with dyslexia really are very gifted and smart and they think outside the box. But he was struggling, and it's that goes back to that comparison. He was comparing himself to other kids, and they were getting their schoolwork done faster than him, the paperwork faster. And because of that, he decided he must be stupid. And so for us to be able to go back and say, you know what, that Ephesians 2:10, that God created you on purpose for a good purpose. Let's discover what that is. And for him to see God answer these huge prayers in his life, even the fact at that time, all he's ever wanted to do since he was 4 years old was to go to film school. And in fact, for his kindergarten checkup, the doctor said, "So are you going to start school?" And he goes, "I'm going to film school."
Oh, that's like, so funny.
First you have elementary and junior high and high school, and then you can go to film college. Even in second grade, I thought, well, he's never going to make it to film college. I don't even know if he's going to get out of high school. Because, you know, how your mind races, and which was why the beauty of having my Moms in Prayer group around me through that journey, and we had just started, and to be able to dump those fears at God's feet and allow him to be able to take those, and he promises in Philippians 4 that we give him our anxieties, our fears, and he's going to replace them with his peace that passes all understanding. And that's truly what he did. And then for Elliot to be able to see God walk him through this journey and how God grew him through that. And in fact, in eighth grade, he created a movie called Dyslexia, The World the Way I See It. So he had embraced, and we would always go back to God as our strength and our weakness, and he had embraced that principle so much that he was able to, you know, he wasn't hiding the fact that he had dyslexia. He was saying, "Hey, I have dyslexia. Other people do too. Here's how we see the world." And at least for him, and he got a lot of awards for that, and then went on to win a lot of different film awards. And graduated high school with a great GPA, got an academic scholarship, graduated with honors from college, and just to see how God used that. And in fact, he would call sometimes from college, say, "Hey, pray for me, I've got this big test," or because he knows the power of prayer.
I love that. Cindy, we have run out of time, but there's so much more that we could say. And this has been a really fun read for me, God Confident Kids, your new book. And I just would encourage our listeners to get a copy of that or to spend some real time pondering how infusing our God into our kids' situations matters. Friend, would you pray for us today for moms who are trying to raise God-confident kids?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Lord, we thank you for each one listening to this podcast. Lord, we thank you for the moms that are part of Moms in Prayer and those that are just kind of thinking about it. Lord, we pray that you would demonstrate your amazing power in their lives and in their kids' lives. I pray that you would give them those creative thoughts in praying with their kids and showing them who you are and modeling that, Lord, that you would allow them to have fun in doing that as well, and that you become part of their natural conversations, Lord. I pray that you will raise up this generation of God-confident kids that love you wholeheartedly with their heart, mind, and soul, Lord, and that you will use them to do great and mighty things for this kingdom. Lord, I pray for each parent that is raising these God-confident kids, Lord, that you will give them your grace and your strength and their weakness, and that you will just really go before them, Lord. You have handpicked each one of our children for us on purpose, Lord. I pray that you will strengthen each one of these parents out there, Lord, that you will give them your creativity and your wisdom and your insight as they raise this next generation. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Isn't Cindy great? I love teaching our kids that they don't need to have all the answers because their great big God does. If you know a mom who's trying to teach her kids to find their confidence in God, why don't you send her a link to today's podcast and offer her a little hope? You can get today's show notes and links to today's resources on our blog at momsinprayer.org. Thanks for taking the time to listen and to pray for your family. Moms make the difference. Moms whose confidence is in the Lord. Moms just like you. See you next time.